I'm speaking today with Sylvia Mintz, who is running for State House in District 132. Sylvia, first question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
I'm running because I think that it is time for the state District 132 to have somebody that represents the diversity of the district. That district has changed a lot, the demographics have changed, and I think that it is time to have a new face and that understands the issues that the community faces every day in the district. And I'm really excited about the opportunity to run for the first time as a Democratic candidate.
Now, you talk about time for a new face. That district hasn't had a Democratic candidate run in it since at least the 2001 redistricting. So, you know, if you go knock on someone's door and say, "Hi, I'm Democrat running for State House," are they surprised to see you?
Yes, actually, you know, that really makes me really excited that since 2000, the Democratic Party hasn't run there. Actually, Mr. Calagari, the incumbent, hasn't had an opponent, a Democratic opponent, since back in 2000. Now that I am running there and I'm knocking on doors and I'm meeting like with the Katy Democrats and different people out there, they are actually welcoming the idea of having a Democratic candidate there. They're all very excited and willing to help. I think that it's an opportunity to give the voters a choice.
Okay. Now, you are a native of Honduras?
Guatemala.
My apologies. Mm-hmm. How did you wind up here, if you don't mind my asking?
No, everybody asks. I came to the States 12 years ago. I came to work. My first job here in the U.S. was to be janitor. I work from 8 to 4:30 in one building, you know, cleaning windows and cleaning ashtrays. And then I work from 5:30 to 10, vacuuming a different building. And that's how I started. Actually, my first words that I learned in English were vacuum and mop.
All right.
Yeah.
You're an attorney now, so you had a journey from there.
Yes. I have been very lucky, and, you know, people say, oh, the United States is the land of opportunities, and sometimes you think that's a cliche, but it's actually a reality. In 12 years, I went from being a janitor to being an attorney to running for office. It's, you know, it has been an exciting journey. I was a nanny all the way up to my first semester of law school. I had to quit being a nanny because the time constraints of the, you know, the doctorate. So I had to quit being a nanny, and I went to work at the school library. I graduated from...
Which school did you go to?
I did my undergrad at St. Thomas. I graduated from political science, magna cum laude, and then my doctor in jurisprudence, I got it from South Texas College of Law.
Okay. Now, I mean, you are an immigrant. As you know, immigration has been very prominent in the news lately. What is your perspective on, you know, some of the things that people are saying, the need for border security to deal with illegal immigration? Some of the people who would be your colleagues in the House would like to pass a law similar to what Arizona passed. What is your take on all that?
Well, first of all, I think that, yes, we do need border security, but we also need comprehensive immigration reform. You know, we need to find a way where we legalize the people that are here. We cannot just decide to put everybody in a bus and send them back, because that's not the solution. I do not agree with having something like Arizona in Texas, and I honestly think that the Arizona law is unconstitutional, and I think that, you know, the judge last week or 2 weeks ago, the ruling with the injunction was really on point and following precedent, and I think that any state that tries to go ahead and decide to rule immigration laws is going to face the same issue that immigration laws are for the federal government to implement and to regulate. Now, we need the federal government to do something. We cannot continue to live on this need of immigration reform and people having to hide. I am an immigrant and I practice immigration law, and I have contact with many immigrant people here every day, undocumented, and I know that many of the perceptions that the society has about immigrants are completely wrong. And I think that many immigrants that have been able to succeed, like myself, need to really roll up our sleeves and show the people that, immigrants don't come here to live off of welfare, to use all the state money, so all the government money, that actually, they come to work, and we need to actually figure out what to do with the more than 12 million immigrants that are here.
What, if anything, should the state be doing?
Well, I think that, yes, we need to secure the borders. I think that we don't need to be enforcing federal immigration laws. So I don't agree with passing something with like the Arizona law. And then I think that, the state, one thing that the state needs to be doing is not making the immigrant community hire more than what it is already. An example is the driver's license issue. I think 1 or 2 years ago they passed this law that if you are not here with a legal status, then you cannot get a driver's license. And I think that that is completely wrong, that the state is really not handling this issue right, because, if you don't have a driver's license, you cannot get your insurance card for your car, and you can get into accidents, or you can get into more trouble, and you will not have the economic capacity to pay. So I think that while trying to discourage the people to drive, if they have the need to drive, they're going to drive. And I don't think that that's a good idea to make the immigrant community hide more, I guess, and to struggle more. I think that the state needs to leave it to the federal government.
Obviously, the big issue facing the state right now is the budget shortfall. $18 billion is the figure generally cited. There's some dispute over the exact amount, but it's a considerable amount. What approach should the legislature be taking to deal with this?
I think that, we really need to kind of tie up our belts and figure out where things can be cut, where the money is being wasted, and I think that's what it is.
Do you have any specific areas in mind? I mean, right now, the approach that the governor has taken is to order departments to cut 5% this year and 10% next year. It's across the board. There's pros and cons to that approach, and that, of course, is at a departmental level, not at a legislative level. Do you have any specifics in mind?
I think that at the departmental level, you cannot ask across the board to cut the budget or to make cuts. I think that there are essential needs, essential services that shouldn't be facing budget cuts. Probably you have to look at what is essential and what is not before you require to cut the budget. And then on the legislative side, I think that the legislators have to really go back and see where we can get some revenue, or where is it that there is a lot of waste.
What the approach should be taken to seeing about new revenue?
Well, I think that probably we need to figure out how the taxes are going on and see where, you know, if there are some tax loopholes or something that can be done.
Okay. One approach that is being pushed, that has been pushed in recent years, but is getting some extra momentum this year, is expanded gambling in Texas. You've got proposals for casinos, you've got proposals for video lottery terminals, slot machines at horse racing tracks. Do you favor or not favor any of these approaches?
You know, I'm really not against gambling. The issue would be where it is and who is, you know, the gambling targeted, and how regulated it's going to be, because we don't want to also affect the youth.
So you're not committing at this time to vote yes or no on any given proposal?
No, not really.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about education. I guess the first question I would have, you know, when you read about, you know, the future, you know, Texas's future, it is a, you know, the student population, the public school population is increasingly Latino, and many of whom are first generation or children of immigrants, and, you know, it seems like the approach we've always taken to education isn't necessarily as successful. There's higher dropout rate as kids, you know, don't come from the families that have a college tradition, drop out to work, do other things. You know, what do you think, what kind of approach should Texas be taking to educate its increasingly diverse, increasingly Latino population?
You know, education is one of the priorities for me. I am the product of education. I'm here talking to you thanks to education and to all the doors that open for me. I do volunteer. I go talk to high school students in the Houston area, especially Latinos, to kind of motivate them and show them that, yes, you can do it, even though many times you feel like all the doors are closed. I think that we need to actually figure out how we can have empty schools mentoring programs. And besides that, I think that we need to make sure that we make college education affordable and accessible for everyone. Because what I have noticed is that many of the Latino children, many become discouraged because they think or they know they cannot afford to go to college. So it's not only the my parents never went to college and that's why I don't care about college. It's not about that. It's about thinking that that's something that they cannot afford to do. So I think we need to make sure that you know, everybody has access to higher education and that they are motivated to finish high school because they're going to have something to look forward to. I think that's important. I think that we have to understand also the diversity of the culture, and many times probably the parents cannot tell the children, oh, you know, it would be a lot better for you to think long term and go to college and get a career is better, you know, because they need the help with the money. But we need to find a way where they can work and go to college at the same time and figure out that that can be done.
Do you think there needs to be more vocational training in schools as well for those who, you know, for whom college may not be suitable?
Yes, I think that would be a good idea because, you know, many young people probably would be better off learning a vocation and the schools should actually focus a little bit more on that.
Now, as far as affordability of college grades, of course, as you know, a few years ago, in a similar budget situation, the legislature deregulated college tuition rates for the public universities. Basically, that meant they provided less money to the public universities so they could set their own tuition, and tuition has gone up considerably since then. Do you believe that's something that needs to be revisited?
I think so. I think, you know, I honestly think that we need to provide the tools for the young people to go to college, and, you know, we need to make sure that college education is affordable for everyone. You know, it shouldn't be a luxury to go to college, and it shouldn't be just for the haves to go to college. Everybody should have the opportunity, because, you know, we need trained people and trained professionals here. We don't need to be importing professionals from other countries. You know, we should be able to use our youth and to provide them with opportunities, but for that they need to be able to afford to go to college. And I think that everybody should have access to higher education.
Your district encompasses part of Katy, out west in Harris County. It's part of town I'm not terribly familiar with, but I know that Katy is one of many places in Texas that is kind of a historical town that is sort of morphed in recent years into a large suburb of a, you know, large city, in this case Houston. I mean, places like Spring and Tomball are as well. You know, what challenges does that community face, you know, over the next few decades, and how would you as a state legislature try to help it meet those challenges?
You know, Katy is growing really fast. That area is, you know, is growing tremendously. And I think one of the challenges is, first of all, the traffic, the environment. There is a lot of construction around there, around Katy. And then, you know, the schools, Katy ISD is a great district, the school district, but, you know, as more students move out there and more families move out there, there are challenges with the schools and the money for the schools. And then I think that is that issue of Katy now is very diverse too. There are many people that come from different parts of the world, you know, because we are so close to the energy corridor right there. And I think one of the challenges is also to for everybody to be able to embrace the diversity that is growing in Katy.
One of the storylines for this election is that there is an enthusiasm gap. Republicans are more energized about voting, and so we're told, than Democrats are. Do you see that out where you're campaigning, and if so, how do you deal with it?
Well, you know, I guess because it's the very first time that we have a Democratic candidate running out there, I have seen people very excited about having a candidate, and actually very excited about supporting Bill White for governor. Even though I think we need to do more, because for the primaries, Republicans were actually going out in bigger numbers than the Democrats.
They had a higher profile race.
Yes, and I really hope that the Democrats understand that we really need change, especially at the gubernatorial level, and that we need to support Bill White and hopefully get finally a Democratic governor.
Okay. And, you know, when people vote in your election, why should they vote for you and not for the incumbent?
I think that, you know, the incumbent has now got out of touch with the community. I think that I live in the community. I have struggled like many of the people that live there. I understand the issues that the community faces, and I think that we need to have new ideas too, fresh ideas in Congress. I'm really looking forward to serve the community.
Okay. Sylvia Mintz, thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Yeah.